Singapore, our president, other presidents, and the prime minister or president of North Korea is meeting, and we're believing that God is going to negotiate. Man cannot negotiate. They'll come up with something that doesn't work. But we believe that God is intervening and interceding, whether it be in Nicaragua, whether it be in Central America, whether it be in Africa, whether it be in the United States, whether it be in Canada. The negotiations of the kingdom of God are going on right now. And if you're in the kingdom, not in a church, not in a small group, the church is universal. It actually extends beyond the world. Amen. And if there's anything else going out there, God's created it all, and he has it under control. Amen? Okay, I got no one agreeing, but I appreciate that. You know, remember David, he said he had to encourage himself. So that was, I'm encouraging myself on that. How many people were here last week and had one of these sheets placed in their hand? Okay. We're going to take a little bit of a look at this again, and the Lord's really been speaking to me for years. Would you just pass those out, Jenna? I'd appreciate it. If you want to take two, that'd be fine, so you keep it in mind. I think over the years, it's been close to 40 years that I've, when we came up here, Pastor Jim, Mary, myself, Sandra, Barbara, and so there's been a lot of messages preached, a lot of singing, sang, a lot of different things, a lot of dances danced. But the fact is, if we could do, and I've always felt this way, if we could do 10 things, and we could do them and really catch them in our heart, those 10 things would keep us stabilized so that the kingdom would begin to grow in a mighty, mighty way. I don't know if I was having a dream, but it was something about rain. And you know, when we start talking about rain, people get a little bit nervous because when it starts raining around here, we get a lot of rain. And you know, maybe too much rain. But rain brings life on a desert. And I looked yesterday when the rain came on Friday, and you walked outside and everything was like green. You know, even the dead trees among the trees that are alive, the ones that are alive, even making the dead trees look good. It's a dead tree, but it's making it look good, and we'll cut it down in the fall and burn it. But I just want you to know that God, in the realm of the kingdom, really wants to grab a hold of you personally. You know, I think about Pastor Jim, Mary, myself, different times in our lives, where we had an opportunity to go somewhere, do something that didn't make any sense. And you know, in fact, you'd say, why are you doing that? But every time we'd do that, God would show up, and there would be because we were in movement, God would do something great. And I remember being up on the Indian reservations up in, in between, from Waban East, which is about 20 miles, there was a church that we wanted to build. We had no money. We had nothing. We were going to cut down the trees and build this church out of the trees that we cut down. So we did cut down these beautiful trees, and that plan didn't work, so we went to a lumberyard and a sawmill, and we went and we bought, and it was, I think it was 30 by 30. And then so in the fall, we went and we raised finances, and I don't know where we raised it, but we got enough to pour some concrete up in the middle of the reservation, not knowing, so why are we doing this? And we had a group of people that said, we're wanting to minister to the Indian people. And so that was enough to get us going. And that was really the first experience that I started moving like in faith. You know, before that, when I accepted Christ, that took faith, right? Now I believe that I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. I've asked Jesus to come into my life. Things are getting better. And so now it's this realm of faith that we're going to do something for the Lord. Now, if you imagine, you know, one guy that was Darwin Soaring, he was more kind of like a gunslinger. He'd been shot several different times, and that's the guy that was in charge. And you had myself, and I was pretty messed up. And we had some other folks, they weren't so well off either. But that's who God chose. And we began to step out in faith in that realm, and we seen God move. And at the end of the winter, we'd went to Wisconsin, we raised finances, and they gave us finances to build this little church up on the Indian reservation. And in the summer, or in the springtime, it was all pretty much done, not inside, but we had the roof on and different things like that. And that was our gang from Richwood, Minnesota, where we really came from. And us stepping out and doing something like that, it felt so good on my inner man. You know, your flesh didn't feel so good for your flesh when you're out there doing things that really don't make a whole lot of sense. And why are you doing them? Why doesn't someone else with more experience, more understanding, why don't they do something here? And time after time, in the summertime, the group that was working with us, and they were so excited about us building the building and stuff, they transferred everything that we had been working for to a Lutheran organization, and they took over. It was going to be somewhat of a camp for the Lutheran camps. So we got moved out of it. They come in it, and it was like, well, all that work, all that effort, everything that we did seemed like, well, why did we do that? But in that time, for one thing, what was going on, it wasn't so much about us doing such a great work for God. It was such a great thing that God was doing on the inside of us. And even when they were when they took over the facility, you know, you could get bitter. You could ask why. You could say, I'm not going to ever do anything for the Lord again, because all it turns into is just a, you know, some type of a show that you don't want to watch. But you see, God was working on the inside of myself. And Pastor Jim and Mary, they were very much part of it, probably donated good finances towards getting this thing done. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we don't have no more control. You know, I think that God wants to get rid of our control issues, our control issues, and he wants us to move in the realm of the Spirit where you don't know exactly what's going to happen, but when you're moving there, you know that God's going to show up, and he's going to show his glory like we've never seen his glory. And if we could embrace that as individuals and then bring that to God and say, God, this is what I have. And, you know, I think we were probably, I might have been born again for a year, year and a half. And we started doing things that were pretty crazy. And we started out with 13 people. 3 years later, we had 300 people walking up the road to a new church out in the place where it was the poorest people out there. But God did something for them. And he began to move mightily in people's lives. And it was individual testimonies. It was like, wow, look at that person. You know, they didn't have anything, and all of a sudden God's doing something in 8-9 months and changing the whole situation. So this sheet right here really gives us some functioning. Well, what if we just did 11 things? Okay? And we could talk about these things, but what if we just said, I'm committed to doing 11 things for, let's say, 12 months. All right? First one was baptism. How many people have already committed that one? You got it done, baptism? Everyone's hand up? Okay, yeah, that's okay. So most of you have already made that type of commitment. Okay, then it's baptism of repentance. In other words, I'm wrong, you're right, that settles it. Yesterday, I took a little drive to the church for a prayer meeting, and I drove on 8th Street, and then I drove on the road out, and it was so stinking rough. And there's something about irritation. It's kind of like a car wash with me. Don't drop $4 more in there, because you already had your 5 minutes. Give me my 5 minutes. And so I was upset, and I was not praying, I was complaining. And I got out of here. Tom was here. He said, well, I'd have another thought, and I'm going, yeah, uh-huh. You know, I wanted something done, and I wanted something done right now. And so by the time we got done with prayer, I had repented several different times, because what was going on, me complaining and acting out of my own justification, why doesn't there was a grader 50 feet away from the road that was so rough, and I'm looking at the grader, I'm looking at the road, and I'm going, something wrong with this picture. You know, and isn't that kind of our lives? You know, I mean, okay, a grader here, rough road, and we're driving on it. Yeah. And so what's our thought about that in the realm of the fruit of the Spirit? You know, I showed no love. I mean, I'm talking about the ones I want, love, joy, and peace. I had been robbed on a Saturday morning going to prayer meeting. And I thank God so much for the brothers that were there, and they prayed, and we broke through, and we started praying that a grader would come and grade that. We started praying that things would happen, and people, you should have heard some of my complaints. Thank God you didn't. But I was going, wow, how can I get that far out? And then my alignment, and really that was the word, alignment. I was out of line. Alignment. And when I come into line in 1 hour, I drove out of here singing praises and worshiping, drove down the same road. They hadn't graded it yet, but we did the right thing. We prayed instead of complained. And I noticed about in the middle of the day, the grader had moved, and they graded all of this when we prayed. And then they went out and they graded this whole road here. And wow! Have another thought. And so with this thought, I had to repent. With this thought, I'm born again of the Spirit of God. I'm born again. You're born again. How many people are born again here? A few of you? Every one of you? Okay. So if you're born again, that means that you're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. I had some old things on me, apparently. And I was, and you know what? Because I'm the leader, or one of the leaders in the church, people could follow me and say, yeah, Jake's right. But I wasn't right. I was wrong. And so I had to come to, but somebody had to negotiate something in Jake to get that thing off of him. And someone was gracious enough, several of them was gracious enough, to stick with me for about a half hour, so I could get that off. And so because I'm born again, I'm a new creation in Christ. You're a new creation in Christ. And when we go through crisis management, which this was a crisis management, doesn't sound very big, but this thing took me out pretty big time. I was ticked off. You know, being in construction, you notice the parking lot out here? And if you don't, I'm a dragger. I'll drag that thing until it's as smooth as you can get it with the conditions we have, because I like that. And so when I go into it, and Joseph really helped me, he come in and he said, these roads are pretty nice compared to Africa. And I took five days on the African road, and the guys were bragging about how bad their roads were. And you know what I was thinking. You know, it took me about 2 days to get out of that. 5 days on the road from Uganda up to South Sudan, and the craziest things I've ever seen. You know, the roads were so rough that we had oil pans that poked holes in the oil pans, and we were alongside the road, And I'm just going like this, what are we doing? And I felt justified. I looked at Steve Mianje. I'm going, where did you take us anyway? What are we doing out here? Why am I in Africa running down some road? We didn't even drive on the road. We drove in the ditch because the ditch was better than the road. It was the dry season, so I suppose maybe what happened, the water graded the ditch. You know, like when the water was going, it graded the ditch, so we'd get down the ditch, and it was better than the road. But you know what? God was doing something in my life and personally taking me to a place where my mind, will, and emotions would not rule my life. And it took about 3 days. I mean, I got the prophet Dave Wagner, and he wasn't too much better off than I was. But I said, I mean, I got some clout. We got Steve Mianje. I mean, but God was placing a test on my born-again experience. Are you born again? Are you acting like you're born again? You know, are you stepping into places that you need to step so that you can see that your life has changed? You know, Tom was talking about you're as good. I know, you remember this statement? You're as good as you are when you're under pressure. That's who you really are. So yesterday, I had a rough little road, and if I would have slowed down 10 miles an hour, it wouldn't have bothered me. But the road started affecting again who I am. And so I'm as effective in crisis time, that's the real me. So you say, well, Pastor Jake, you're really roughing yourself. No, I'm not roughing myself, because I said, this is what I was reading. I said, okay, I'm having a little tough day. I'm a little discouraged. So I looked up all the scriptures on discouragement. God never said, oh, that's all right, son, be a little discouraged. Never said that. He said, do not be discouraged. I'm going, wait a minute, I want to be discouraged. No, do not be discouraged. Be encouraged into the place where David was at the crisis time of his life. They were going to kill him. His own warriors were going to kill him because they were so upset that David let all of the families be stolen by the enemy. And so David had to encourage himself. He never said, oh, you know, poor David. God never gives you the poor David deal or the poor Jake deal. He said, you're wrong, I'm right, and that settles it. And it even says that, okay, there is no good thing that works in the flesh. If you're in the flesh, there's no good thing, okay? So I can't even get, okay, now I'm going to squeal. Now, Danny, because Danny is such a good friend to me, he'll come and say, Jake, it's all right. You can be discouraged a little bit. Go ahead, Jake, be discouraged. No. The Word of God said, no, do not be discouraged. Be encouraged, because this is what I'm going to do in the situation. I'm going to change everything. If you will pray and believe who you are in me, then things are going to change. So I'm looking at now, what number am I on? Okay, to receive a life coach. We talked about life coaches. How many people could be a coach right now? You feel like you could be a coach? Okay. Okay, so a coach, what a coach does, you get one person or two people or working together so they can get to this one point called 1 year. And when they're at that 1 year point, they've established about 10 or 11 things in their lives that will take them to the second year, to the third year, to the fourth year, to the fifth year. Are you hearing that we're progressing into the realms of the Spirit because we're growing, okay? They say that in about 5 years' time, Christianity, one that has given their life to Christ, you know it all. You know it all. You've heard all of the lingo and jingle, and you've heard it all, and you're just saying, hey, you know what? And then what they do is they stop coming to church because they know it all. They, you know, in Judges it said, everyone done what seemed right in their own eyes. And I mean, yesterday is a good example. After 40 years, I showed my best place was complaining about the road instead of praying about the road. And my flesh is no different than your flesh. Flesh is flesh. And you're not going to get away from that by you complaining. You'll get away from it by you praying. Amen? Hallelujah. And praying works. Praying works. You start grabbing concepts that are going to change. You're going to be a game changer because God's changing you. You see, I love everything that makes some sense. Game changers make real good sense to me. You know, I go, wow, I have to have another thought. I have to take this position. Even if I'm fighting or if I'm having an emotional time, I'm not going to allow that to rule my house. Okay? You know, it's kind of, really, it even talks about your house. How about your kids? How are they doing? Now, you can complain about your kids, or at least you can think about complaining about your kids, but the fact is, unless you begin to pray and begin to say, God, you gave me these children, they're good children. They're gifts from the Heavenly Father. And when I start bringing my children before the Lord, you're not asking for excuses for them. You're not asking them. You're saying, I'm going to do the word according to what the Bible says so my child will have a great, great opportunity. We went to a birthday party yesterday, and little Evie, she had a birthday, and so I was watching her open up gifts, and I don't know who taught her this, if this is by the Spirit, but every gift she received, she had this wild-looking little dress on, beautiful, you know, and she was standing up there, and she going, every time, then she said, well, that person gave you that, and she'd stand up there and go, thank you, thank you, and she'd go and open up another present. I'm going, who does that? You know, who does that? You know, usually, you know, it's like wolves taking the pack, rip open the thing. Ah! But there was something, you know, that you took training, you took the time. Somebody was coaching her. I don't think she just come up with that on herself. Someone was doing coaching. And we can be coaches. And why people can't make it, because there's no one that will coach them. We encourage them. Sometimes we bring condemnation on, oh, you didn't make it to church again? Well, shame on you. Oh, what's your problem now? Oh, I went to the lakes. Oh, shame on you. No, shame off of you. I don't need shame. I need the word of the Lord. I need a voice of God. I need to hear what God has to say for my life that I can walk in the Spirit. One of the greatest things that we neglect is I have a walk in the Spirit. I have an obligation to walk with God. God is a Spirit. He moves in spirit and truth. Unless we move with him, then we'll be in the flesh. We'll be in our mind, will, and emotions. Everything will start taking over. Or we can be spiritual. How many people do you want in this church? This is the ecclesia. How many people were in the church in Israel? It's kind of like a graveyard question. How many people are dead in that graveyard? All of them. Yeah, all of them. Okay, Israel, were they all in the church, or were they just kind of scattered around doing what they wanted to do at any time, or were they all in the church? Well, you think about it, tabernacling, when Moses called, they went to the door of their tents, okay? That's place, that's location. So that's really kind of a wake-up call. Okay, God, wake-up call, something's going on, and I'm responsible for this house. I went to that door now. This morning you did it, you stepped out of the door. Then, because you were invited to the tabernacle, the door of the Lord, the tabernacle, and Moses spoke, which Moses was the voice of God. If you went against Moses' voice, you were in trouble. And there was even the best of leadership, whether it be Miriam, whether it be Aaron, the priest. When he went to that door and they said, hey, we're like Moses. Why can't we make decisions like Moses? Okay, you know the rest of the story. Miriam got leprosy. She was put out of the camp. She didn't die. But God was saying, okay, she deserves to get out of the camp and be disciplined a little bit. then she'd bring them back, because the voice of Moses was the voice of God, okay? And why people do not want to hear the voice of Moses is because they would love to hear a pastoral voice, an apostolic voice, a prophetic voice. They'd love to hear everything else except the voice of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because then you can blame the other person, but you can't. If it's God talking to you, how can you blame God? You know, how can you blame? Well, you can, but you're not going to get very far. So I see myself in this dilemma. And Paul said it like this. He said, you know, I've come into this place at this time, and I'd like to do what was right, but I'm having such a fight in things that I shouldn't be doing, but I'm doing them, and oh, wretched man that I am. You know, but it's really fun to say, well, I repent. I'm good. Lord, I like it. Go ahead. New things are coming, amen? Baptism in water. Baptism in water, do we understand the act, or do we understand what it really means? When you go down into that water, you're literally dead. You don't have the right to say, well, you know, I guess I can do this. No, there's no right there. Because I committed, and when I went down the water and when I come up out of the water, and that was supposed to be the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm resurrected in Christ. So the challenge of just in water baptism, I'm resurrected. I've been buried. Everything in my life, I've been buried. Come on, help me with this. Help me. You know why the world is in the shape they are? They don't know 10 things about the scriptures. They might know 1,000 things about the scriptures, but the 10 things they're fighting. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking myself about that. Okay, was I dead yesterday? No, I wasn't dead yesterday. The old man crawled up and resurrected. We got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is tongues, and if you have tongues, then you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's not what the Word tells us. Word tells us that there was power that was going to come from on high. When that power came on the day of Pentecost, the people were seeking God, unity together, seeking God, wanting to hear His voice. Tongues of fire came on them. They were baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, and before that, they couldn't walk. They'd walk with God for 3.5 years, hearing God personally, and then all of a sudden it was cutoff time, and they needed something else. All the disciples, all the training, everything they had, they were trained by God, but they didn't have the deal. He told them, you go, and you tarry until the Holy Spirit comes on you, that you're endued with tongues. No, with power. And if we look at even in the areas of tongues, it says that it's the least of the gifts. So he's not going, oh, I don't want the gift of tongues. I want the gift of love. Well, if tongues is the least, you think that he's going to give you the power of love because you're not wanting to go through proper protocol? Is, hey, I'm going to get what God gives me, and this is how I'm going to start moving. And love will be the greatest. You know, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians talks about love and how beautiful that is. So the challenge is if we could be life coaches, if we could go through these processes, and if you've already went through them, are you an expert at it? You don't have to be very much an expert. You have to have about 5 minutes more than the person that hasn't went through it, then you're an expert. Okay, you hear what I'm saying? When I got saved, one week later, I wrote letters to my family. I did, maybe not a week, but it was 3 months. I said, you know, I gave my life to Jesus. I did all this stuff. What was going on? It was the Holy Spirit was taking over. I'd never done that before. And so this power is taking over our lives. It goes to the understanding of tithes and offerings. I like tithes and offerings because it's a natural thing that we can do that brings spiritual benefits, okay? So God looks and he said, well, will you, now I'm speaking to you, will you do this? And you say, well, when I see the benefit, I'll do it. Now that's not faith anymore, because that's just a benefit that you're going by the law. But when you do that, God begins to open up the windows of heaven in every aspect. And if you don't do it, the good sermon is saying, if you don't tithe, you're under a curse, da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't want to go that way. I want to go, I am a tither. I have no excuse to not do that. And so I'm not taking the curse. I'm going to take this, and then I'm going to have the heavens open up and pour out blessings that I cannot contain. I'm not going to negativity and saying, well, if you don't tithe, because really that's a law then instead of the grace of God ruling in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay. And as we go through this area, you can read these things right here and just consider it. And in the next season of time, I wanted the summertime to kind of just let it soak in. And then in the fall, let's do something that is radical. Let's put this into action and see, asking people, just say, hey, you know what? If you do this, this, and this, and this is what it means, and I'm going to walk with you for 1 year. You know, some people, Moses, when they gave authority, some had authority over 1,000, some had authority over 100, some had authority over 10. Now, you might be the one that would be over 1,000. But if you don't start somewhere, you'll never finish somewhere. You know, and if you start with 5, then there's 5 more that's going to come alongside, because those 5, and I always love to take Mary's principle. When she was witnessing, she said, well, there was only, she witnessed and she'd get, was it about 1 out of 10? I don't remember, but you'd witness in the hospital, you'd do all that. But that one person that came usually was the light and the life of the party we were having. You know, they'd come out to church on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night at that time, and they'd be all excited. They'd say, something's going on, because it was something new, and someone was bold enough to say, I'll be your life coach. And so the walk of God began to take over their lives. And we were having very, very good success. If you think about 13 people in a building that was so small, it was about like that right there. That stage was there, that was our church. And then 3 years later, we had 300 some people that marched up to this big, beautiful sanctuary and event center out in the middle of nowhere. And it was because, we didn't have people, you know, not all of the Lutherans left the Lutheran church. That wasn't the case. And we were a motley bunch, but wow. When God has room to us to give our hearts and be available to him, he can do mighty things. And so I just really challenge us today to consider and pray this season of time that we could say, okay, these things are not so hard. Most of us have done most all of them. But what we have to do is bring it to people that are needing to have a head start. Okay, where are they tripping up? You know, what lie has the enemy told them? And it's usually a lie that gives them convenience, the lie of convenience. Everything's convenient, so this is what I'm going to do. Instead of saying, okay, I've given up my life because Jesus gave up his life for me. He paid a price through water baptism, and of course, through the death on the cross. All I have to do is do the same thought. The same thought. When Jesus... When he was resurrected from the dead, you think that he was pretty happy? I mean, I bet you he'd do cartwheels if he was a gymnastic. He'd do anything after, because he paid the price of ridicule, suffering, persecution, and then they took him and crucified him. Okay, and then they buried him, which is cool. Except what was really cool was on Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday morning, there was another thought. There was a game-changing thought that Jesus is alive and he's alive forevermore. And if you're looking at me right now, I have the nature of man and I have the nature of God. Where do I want to walk? And I'm sick and tired of my flesh trying to rule me. And yes, the soul is supposed to be saved, which is the mind, will, and emotions. It's supposed to line up with what God says, called His Word. And any other program that you think that you're going to get by with, it's not going to work. And if anything, I'm a testimony of that over the years, because I've been into different things that maybe hasn't brought the great glory to God. But I want to, because there's something on the inside of me called Christ in me, the hope of glory, that I want to see great change in my personal life. When we say that we can't change, then we're no good anymore on planet Earth. We can change. God, bring me to change. Bring me to the mountain of change. Bring me to change that I'll never be the same again. And people can see that. And, you know, I've repented at different times that I'm not the best or haven't been the best pastor and this and that. But, you know, if it's that, I'm saying, by the grace of God, take me somewhere that I can be better, and that'll require change, right? And so that's really where my heart is, and for the next 30 years, I'll be 106 then. 30, I'll be 96. 96, yeah, something like that. Well, anyway, if I'm that, and I can say, even on my 96th birthday, that I can change. That I can change. I'm not going to put my bondage and burdens on other people's lives. I'm going to follow the God of heaven and earth, and it's going to be good. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for change. We thank you that I don't even want another service per se. I'd like to see everything change, praise and worship. I love praise and worship. I love the people that are doing it. I'd love to see our dance team be activated. Those that dance, they're called there. God, activate that. I don't want it by force saying, well, you should be a dancer. Lord, by the anointing of God, that they would come and something would begin. But probably more than anything, God, that you'd bring the zeal of God that will change every one of our lives, because the anointing breaks the yoke and the zeal of God pushes us in to different areas that God will be the first and foremost thing in our lives. We release that upon each person. God, I ask, Lord, that the glory of God, you even said it in John 17, you said, okay, Jesus wanted to glorify God, and God was showing Jesus as being glorified. And then they were coming into agreement, and they said, hey, you know, God, show the disciples how unified we are. Lord, show how Daddy God loves Son Jesus, loves the Spirit that can change everything for all of us. I pray for your kids. I pray for your situations. I pray for relationships that are seem like they're under siege. We pray, Lord, negotiations for governments, negotiations for our government in our hearts and our lives. And we believe, Lord, that you're moving on our behalf. We release the Holy Spirit over each person now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you're needing prayer, please